Believe it or not, it works. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. Believe it or not, it works. I am proofing the Song of the Spirit, which is the textbook for the Song of the Spirit, the graduate course of the University of Healing, because we need to print some more copies. We are out of the book, and so we have to send it back to the printer and print some more. And so, as I'm going through it, checking it over, making sure every little nuance is correct and so forth, I ran across, I believe it was chapter 16, but all the chapters are pretty much this way, and it gave an ideal description for healing any condition in your body or your mind or your affairs, anything. It gave the ideal solution for it. But it is contrary to everything we have ever been taught. And being contrary to everything we've ever been taught, it says, I am whole and perfect. It says our original purity and integrity still sits there waiting on the shelf for us to dust it and use it and enjoy it in our life. But we don't dust it off. We don't take it. We don't use it. We don't enjoy it in our life. We continually go on saying that our life is filled with a lot of garbage. And as we say that, our life is filled with a lot of garbage. And then we say we can't do this and we can't do that. And sure enough, we can't do this and we can't do that. And we say that we have, let's say, cancer, and it's eating away at us. And that's it. That's the end. We're going to die. Well, that's it. That's the end. But in the chapters, it says, if we will put a new cause in motion, put a cause in motion, saying, I am whole and perfect, and stand by that cause, and no matter what storm comes upon our mind or our consciousness or our experience or our body, we say, I am whole and perfect. No matter what circumstances we see our body just sort of withering away, and we say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole. Now, anybody knows that is the stupidest thing in the world to do. You're going contrary to the appearances that are constantly changing. Oh, those are illusions. Appearances that constantly change, those are illusions. Now, why can't we change the illusion? You know, many times others have been watching a movie, and we've watched a movie on the video or on in the movie theater. My wife was very good at this. We would go to the movie theater, and we'd see a movie, and she would say, Herb, I'm going to sit in the outer lobby. You guys watch it if you want. I'm not going to watch it. And she wouldn't fill her mind with that movie, which to her was a tough thing. Now, Mark and I, we watched the movie, and we saw the movie as nothing more than just a story. And as soon as the movie was over, the story was over. But for her, it was something that was happening in her heart and in her mind and made her feel, this is real. It's grinding up her emotions to a storehouse of not being very nice. And she would not accept it. She walked out of the theater. And how many, are you willing? So you're dying of cancer. Oh, how wonderful. You're dying of cancer. It's eating you away. And you say, enough. I'm leaving the theater. Now, you leave the theater by taking your thought, by taking your listening, by taking your seeing away from the negative experience you don't want. You don't pull off your dress and say, look at here, how I'm eating away with cancer. You don't do that. You put your dress on and you say, I'm whole and perfect. I'm wonderful. I'm fantastic. You do not uncover yourself for yourself to see or for anybody else to see of the negative experience. You cover yourself with your most beautiful dress. Oh, I don't want to put my beautiful dress on top of that illness. Hey, if that's what you got, boy, oh boy, oh boy, the dress is worth more than perfect health. Yeah. You take that lovely dress and you put it on. You put it right on top of whatever those illusions are. And now you look at yourself in the mirror and you see this very lovely lady. You see this very lovely dress on this very lovely being. And you're fantastic. Now, I have a dear friend in Germany who had cancer eat away at her face and so forth, and she had reconstructive surgery long before I came along, and it didn't do a perfect job on her face. There were gaps and holes in her face which were not pleasant to look at, but she made them unpleasant because whenever we would go someplace, we went to the theater, to the opera, and we went all the places, she always carried her handkerchief and held it over her mouth. I said, stop that. I said, you're drawing attention to your mouth. Now, once we look at your naked body, and we see your naked body, we don't look at it anymore. We accept that your body is naked and Mars is naked, and there's no problem. Once we see your beautiful new dress, we're going to say, wow-wee, what a lovely dress, and then we won't notice it anymore. Once we see your face that has been reconstructed from your cancer experience, we say, oh, okay, no big deal, and then we don't see it anymore. But if you're going to keep drawing our attention to it with your handkerchief over your face, then you're going to make us keep thinking about it, and it's hard for us to see you whole and perfect when you keep telling us that you're not whole and perfect by pointing to your imperfection. Now, when you are going for healing, when you're going for wholeness, and you want to speak your word, well, read the Song of the Spirit. It's the textbook for the graduate course of the University of Healing. It is beautiful. I have read it 3 times now as I'm proofing it and checking it over, and then I decided to, hey, I got new ideas I'm going to throw in there. I've got some new thoughts I'm going to throw in. And so here and there I would scatter in a few new thoughts and new upgraded attitudes and ideas that I had. And, you know, one of the things, it speaks about Moses. And it says Moses was prepared for this wonderful life that he had. That he was born to be a leader. Well, he wasn't born to be a leader. He was born, and he was trained as a leader. Now, he could have been the boy next door. He didn't have to be Moses, but he was Moses, and that was just the way it was. So, Moses was being trained in the Pharaoh's court, in the king's court, as a prince. And as a prince, he always had to win. And so, his combatants, his people who were training with him, the other young men his age, who were excellent in various things, they had to teach him their skill so that he could beat them. That was the name of the game. They had to teach him all of the knowledge that they had so that he could be more intelligent than they. Everything had to be that way because he was a prince. He was a prince being trained in princehood. And the other was a trainer, and he knew that. Now, the other was equally as good. If the other had been named a prince, he would have done a great job because he knew all the things that the prince knew. But the prince knew he was a prince, and he was told every day, you're a prince. Now, act like a prince. You're a prince. Think like a prince. You're a prince. You should live like a prince. Everything you do is perfect. Everything you do is magnificent. Every thought you have is uplifting and supportive of your people. Of your people here in Egypt, and so forth. And all of these things were what he was taught. Now, every day of his life was like that. He was just laid out as a fabulous man, fabulous boy, fabulous prince. What a great way to come along. Now, many parents have done this to their children too. Not too many, but many. And where they have, these kids, depending upon how well the parents handle it, are remarkable. Some of them think they're superior to other people because that's what their parents taught them, but they're not superior. They have merely exercised the choice of being the top or the bottom, and they're the top. Now, we have that same ability in our bodies when we have cancer or any other thing. We can stay with the problem. We can say, we're not a prince, you know, we're not this, we're not that. Hey, do you think Moses had time to have illnesses in his life? Do you think he had time to be less than perfect at any time? Everything he did was supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. He was magnificent. because he believed in himself. Now, are you going to believe in yourself? Do you know who you are? Are you a princess? Are you a prince? Are you the king? Are you the one? How could Moses have led these people through the desert lands and so forth unless he was very, very good? He was very, very good. He was a master in every way, and he was just super. And as a super being, he was just so wonderful that he just did everything super, and he's just so fantastic. He was just so marvelous that everything he did was outstanding because he knew who he was. Now, do you know who you are?
I know it, yes.
Are you a master? Are you a master? Ah! Are you a master?
Ah! Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
She's wiping something off the table instead of paying attention to whether she's a master or not. Rex, are you a master? Oh, yes. You wag your tail and you say, you notice that too, huh? Yes, I do. I notice that too. You are a super prince. That's why your name is Rex. Rex means king. Yes, you are the leader. Okay, now. From this day forward, no matter what circumstance comes up in your life that says to you that you have a problem, then you just take the problem and say, be gone. I work only with solutions. My name is Miss Solution, not Miss Problem, but Miss Solution. And so do that, and you will find that for yourself, you will have the most wonderful world in the world, most wonderful life in the world, but also you will not create anybody in your world who is not equal to you. You will create all the nations of the world at peace. You'll create all of the hospitals on earth with people just there getting attention. You know, they don't need it. They're not sick. You know? You create all of these circumstances as outstanding. But it's a choice you have. But I recommend to you that as it comes off the press, you get yourself a fresh copy of The Song of the Spirit and watch the miracles happen in your life, because it'll be worth every penny you pay for it, because it's going to be more expensive than the originals. The originals had been $20 if you lost them. This is probably going to be a little more like $30. But it's a book that's so filled with healing perfection that if you want to apply it and put it to work in your life, you will have a miracle beingness. Now, I'm just finishing my third time reading through the book, and I will be finished with it perhaps the next day or so, and then off to the publishers it'll go, and we'll have copies on hand for those who are ready for it. But only if you want to leave all unhappiness, all illness, all imperfection behind, and live in your true state as a prince or princess who is a king revealing itself, a queen revealing themselves. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
I am.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes.
I love you eternally.
I love you. Thank you.